wonderful one, isn't he? What are you gonna name him?
Do they look like just apes to you?
He saved our lives.
He was remarkable.
You're him. You're Caesar. We've been searching for you for so long.
Tell your colonel we are not savages.
Finally here to complete this epic trilogy, well, even though it's going to continue going on, but this epic trilogy of Caesar's life, if you will, with the conclusion to his story arc at least, with war for the Planet of the Apes. Oh my God. I can't tell you how much I've been looking forward to this since Dawn of the Apes, you know? And then when I realized it was supposed to come out last year and got pushed back just for another year, just to work on some more of the effects, whatever. I was thinking in my head, but not really out loud, you know.
You maniac! You blow it up! Oh, damn you! God!
That'd be Charlton Heston, the king of overacting. from the original Planet of the Apes film, but the 1968 version. I won't even say I appreciate them. I realize what those movies were for, but I'm just gonna go flat out and say those movies sucked. Those movies fucking sucked. Charlton Heston, man, I like him a lot. I think he's a fantastic actor, but damn, man, he oversells and he just overacts like nobody else I've ever seen before. Especially when you got other people just staring at him in the movie, that's like, the fuck is wrong with him, you know? And throughout this whole entire movie, I remember people just staring at him. Well, let's go ahead and tell the story, man. I remember when Rise came out. Rise. 2011. Made my, it was one of the best, I guess, prequel reboots that you saw, whatever, because this franchise is a prequel, let's go ahead and say it. It's leading up to the events that eventually gets us to the Charlton Heston Planet of the Apes films. You see it in Rise, you know, with the spaceship going in the air, the birth of Caesar, little nods in here, like, what's her name? I forgot the doctor that tends to Charlton Heston's character, but she eventually in the movie calls him Bright Eyes in the film. You hear that in the first film. You see the spaceship. You find out about a lot towards the end, more so of the tie-ins of how it leads in. You find out about the virus that eventually stops human, which you see in Planet of the Apes, stops humans from talking. It de-evolves them. When the apes, they get stronger, and the humans, they de-evolve. So you see that in that film, and you also see it in this new film, which is War for the Planet of the Apes. This virus has spread that bad. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out, and it was more about that. I wouldn't say it's more so of the struggle between humans, although that matter was there, but it was more of the struggle of keeping the apes together and strong and stuff like that. Because let's not forget, Caesar was raised by humans, James Franco, John Lithgow, for the little bit that he was alive for, at least. I forgot the chick that James Franco was dating in that movie, her name was and stuff. But either way, though, he was raised by humans, so he doesn't really have any beef with humans. His story arc has been more of an internal struggle of just wanting to be left the fuck alone, you know? He wants to empower apes to be better than what they can be as far as being animals, monsters, whatever you may call them and stuff. And that's what he spent most of these three movies kind of doing. You know, the first movie was liberating him. The second movie was pretty much showing that they can be better than what the humans expect out of them. And I would say this third one here, it's more of the struggle of just him not falling to that dark side of what Koba was, and more so of just keeping apes alive, strong, and living on their own without necessarily humans fucking with them. So I enjoyed Dawn just for that simple. I would say, though, although this one's called War of the Apes, I would say that Dawn probably has the most action in it. And I know some people probably gonna look at, maybe they might avoid it because the movie is just so damn good or whatever, but they're like, this didn't have enough war in it or whatever. You know, I could probably hear those little smart-ass remarks or whatever. Or you made a war film in PG-13. Yes! Okay? And everybody has to look like Hacksaw Ridge where it's just shit just blowing up and body counts and stuff like that. You know, it's funny because we just saw a war movie that people were losing their shit over. Her name was Wonder Woman. And they were talking about how, like, oh my God, you saw somebody lose their limbs. Now, granted, these are CGI monkeys. Which, by the way, I don't ever want to hear anyone talk shit about CGI again because this looked incredible from a CGI standpoint. You get a lot of body counts in this film, like especially that opening. There's a lot of monkeys just dying left and right, and I was like, God damn, dude. I mean, and they die in some fucked up ways, too. You got bazookas and rocket launchers firing their asses off and shit. You got, towards the end, avalanches and monkeys getting shot in the head and stuff like that. And I'm like, this even though it's short and stuff like that, this was much more devastating than the Wonder Woman war scene where you just saw people with their limbs off that one brief scene here and stuff. But I digress, though. So, we get into War of the Planet of the Apes. Let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis of this right here. We open up with the big forest battle where you see the monkey killer tagged on one of the guy's helmets here. And I can't specifically state who that may have been. But I'm going to go ahead and say that was Gabriel Chavira? I don't know how to pronounce that brother's name. Well, either way, he's Preacher in the film. And he's the guy you see that, you're Caesar. You know. he also carries like a bow and arrow most of the time because apparently he's an excellent shot with that. And they got this big battle breaking out. They believe that they might have stumbled upon the apes' lair, if you will. Next thing you know, they end up taking a couple of the apes out until one of them escapes. He's yelling through the woods. And then you see in the fog just a mist of... I almost said humans. Apes on, shit, they might as well be humans at this point. Apes on horses, and they ride in the shadow. And you know them horses like these motherfuckers, dude. Get the hell. You know, there was one part of the movie where Maurice and the little girl was riding the horse, and I know that horse had been saying, "You gotta be fucking kidding me." Now humans and apes are riding my ass. When we gonna get War for the Planet of the Horses? Shit, that's what that horse was probably saying. It's like, Jesus Christ, I want these motherfuckers off my back. Somebody ride your ass monkey up a goddamn tree or something like that. You know, I could see the look in that. This movie made me very animal friendly, and I saw the look in that horse's eyes, and he was like, somebody get this big ass orangutan monkey off my ass right now, along with this fucking infant child. Maurice is an orangutan. I always forget. No, it's not an orangutan. It's a... Damn, I can't remember the name of that fucking monkey. It's what Steve Buscemi played in Jungle Book. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. But either way, Maurice is back as well, too. So, this battle breaks out. The apes end up kicking their asses, take some of them hostage, bring them to Caesar. And I love this shot right here because the shot just looked awesome as hell because you knew who was coming. And every monkey is like, you know, you seen from the previous film, they're handing their hand down, they're bowing down, whatever. And then you see that shot of Caesar just walking through the crowd. You know, he's like fucking Black Panther or something walking through his tribe. And he's like, yeah. I'm top shit up in here, you know. And he ends up they caught the gorilla too. That was a traitor for them. That was Red Donkey, played by Ty Olson here, or mocap by Ty Olson here. And he says that you know, most of these apes are traitors because, you know, they followed Koba and wanted to kill him. Once I killed Koba, Well, they just figured they would, like, team up with the humans just because, well, they figured they'd kill out my ass. So they're just doing them a favor, I guess, because they do it out of fear. That gorilla ended up saying, I don't fear you. I don't know what the fuck you think you talking about. He ended up getting his ass knocked out. He ends up getting taken away by for some reason, I don't know, this monkey, I guess because it was probably white, just left an impression with me or whatever, because these apes kind of stand out on their own. They're not like, how do I put it? They're not like fucking Transformers, Decepticons, where they just like, they're all silver and black or whatever. They don't have a personality or nothing like that. You know, at least with the Autobots, you can say they fucking racist stereotypes, but so you can definitely differentiate between those guys. But the Decepticons, they like sharp metal jets and shit like that on there. So you like, you might as well blend these all together. But with each ape in this film, that's for all the films too. I've always said that Dawn and Rise, they play off so well each other. I wouldn't say that either one is better than the other personally. I think it just flows together so naturally. It's just like, they learned how to stay on par, you know? Because, you know, they both got something I hate and they both got something I like, whatever. I think it kind of equals out to a mind. I would even say the same thing about here, too, to be honest. But his name is Winter. I don't know. This monkey just looked, he had a unique design. Maybe it was just because it was white itself, whatever. But I thought he looked badass as hell to me. And Winter was played, mocap by Alex Punovic. Okay, get some goddamn normal last names, please. Shit, what happened to Williams and Smith and Johnson and Miller, you know? And I don't know, Dalton. I don't know. I'm just making up shit now. He ends up taking that traitor gorilla out of the way, only for Donkey to get away. Winter claims that he knocked him upside the head and ran away, which we later find out that Winter, Donkey tricked Winter and said, hey, the humans will let you live, whatever, if you help me out here. He ended up helping him out eventually, but Caesar let the rest of the humans go to send a message to tell pretty much Woody Harrelson, their chief and commander here, that, hey, we're not monsters or animals or something like that. We just want to be left alone. Well, Woody Harrelson, he ain't taking plight to that. He said, I don't give a fuck about none of that. So, he ends up showing up. Caesar sees him through the waterfall. Beautiful shot right here, too. And next you know, he goes away for real quick. He tells his son to protect his brother and his mother. Woody Harrelson's character, who ends up playing in this film, the Colonel, he ends up killing Caesar's wife and his oldest son here, believing it to be Caesar himself. Caesar goes on a rampage and attacks him down, only to get taken out. And Caesar thus realizes what most people are telling him throughout the film, we should escape now. Let's just get out of here. Caesar says, you guys head on to the mountains and get out of here, where his older son has scouted out for them to retrieve. Caesar says, nah, I gotta stay behind. I gotta kill that motherfucker. I don't want to fight any other humans. I just got to kill that motherfucker. That motherfucker. So, really, this is like some it's like some Spider-Man 3 type shit right here. Not in a bad way, though. I mean, like, he's just on a rampage with vengeance now. This is not the Caesar we know or something like that. He's starting to be consumed by the revenge and his hatred in his heart and stuff like that, you know. He can't let this go. Even towards the end of the film, when it gets brought up, he's just like, nah, I can't let this motherfucker live, or whatever it may be. And thus, he goes on a journey. Maurice ends up joining him. She's mocap by Karen Carnival. Does a fantastic job. She is just awesome. I think, you know, it's funny because everybody always praises Andy Serkis, and he does a phenomenal job, don't get me wrong. But I tell you, I've been saying this since Dawn, or whatever. The more these movies come out, the more they show you, Andy Serkis kind of ain't shit. I mean, there's a couple of, I mean, in Dawn, you just like, man, Toby Kebbell, look, I don't like that man as an actor, but I will say this, he fucking does excellent work as a monkey, so maybe he should just do monkey roles for the rest of his fucking life. That's probably why they stuck him in Kong, whatever. Is that a monkey? His retarded ass. But he was pretty goddamn awesome, and as Cobra, it's just like, wow, although you do love the story of Caesar and stuff like that, it's just something about the other apes. I guess because with Andy Serkis, you expect greatness from it. But then when you get to these other people that's doing it, it was like, God damn, they do a fantastic job. And Maurice, I thought, has just been awesome throughout the film franchise herself. There's some other character who play apes in here as well, too, that I also thought stood out as well. We'll get into, which I don't mean, you know, Andy Serkis ain't shit in a bad way. Either. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's other monkeys in here that are stepping up to the plate that's saying, hey, man, you ain't the king of mocap, all right? I got this right here, sure. Because I would say it's damn near some of these characters from Dawn and this one kind of steal the film in some aspects away. Not in a bad way, neither, people. So he goes on with Maurice. I forgot the Luca. That was the other gorilla's name. Loyal gorilla, too. If I'm not mistaken, it's not from the first. They shot that gorilla. Luca and Rocket, played by Terry, mocap by Terry Notary. And they end up finding this girl, played by Mia Miller. We end up later calling her Nova because, well, she finds a old Chevrolet Nova thing. I wasn't too crazy about that, but the camera didn't linger on it and stuff like that. I will say that about this film. When it does a little wink and nods, and I would say for the whole franchise, when it does this wink and nods to the original film and stuff like that, because anybody remembers in Planet of the Apes, Nova played this hot-ass woman and stuff like that. And when they did it in here, it was just like, I guess. I was like, we're going to have to stretch that far. Maybe she would have just wrote it or something like that. But it was like, oh, okay. But it happened so quick, it was just like, whatever. You can get over it and stuff like that. And they end up finding out that Woody Harrelson, he's caught the apes. All of them that were on that adventure to get to the mountains. He caught all of them, but he kept them alive. He's put them in slavery. He wants them to build a wall because we later find out that the Colonel, Woody Harrelson's character here, is, look, he said that if you got this virus going around, you need to be extinct. He told a story where he had to put his son down because his son caught that virus. And the problem with the virus is you start to lose the ability to talk. You start to slowly just kind of fade out, like your brain is just dying slowly or something like that. In order for that virus not to spread, he had to put a bullet in his own son. And he swore to his men that you'd have to put a bullet in anyone you see this come forward to so it doesn't spread and make humanity extinct or whatever. Some of the men couldn't do it. He ended up doing it for them and killing those men that didn't do it. Well, now he's got this whole military base that's saying, we got to take his ass out. He's pretty fucking dangerous. So he's managed to build up an army here, and he's using the apes to build a giant-ass wall at this facility base he took over to pretty much slow down this attack that's coming on because there's a huge military base that's coming, but not to help Woody Harrelson, but to individually take him and his crew out. And that's your plot synopsis right there. Let me get into some negatives real quick. Not really hard negatives, kind of like my Spider-Man Homecoming negatives, if you will. My first negative is the guy that plays Gabriel Chavira, whatever. They play him up in the movie so much. Like, the camera just lingers on him, and he really just doesn't have shit to say or do, for that matter. It's like, you expecting, like, for him to, like, kind of be the bonding unit, kind of like, what was that boy's name? Is that Michael Clark? I forgot the fucking dude's name now. The dude in, that was in that shitty-ass Terminator film and in the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you know, or the James Franco role where, you know, he's kind of sympathetic towards the monkeys and stuff like that. But no, he doesn't even do that. And it's just like, why do you keep putting the fucking character? You know, Woody Harrelson could have killed him, honestly, with the rest of the dudes, because he ended up killing the rest of the soldiers and stuff, which, at first I didn't know why. I just figured because, oh, he was sending a message, you know. You came back as some pussy. Because they build Woody Harrelson up to be like this stone cold crazy killer. Like he's got the crazy eye and he'll put you down for a second. Which I kind of thought was, I wouldn't say a negative, but it was like, no, he's actually not like that at all. People at the beginning were setting him up like he was Thanos and shit. Like, it was like, the look in his eyes. I saw the look in his eyes. I saw the look in his eyes too. They looked pretty fucking normal to me. I mean, he was really a sane guy who was just plotting and planning, you know. Really just trying to survive for humanity's safety, to be honest. I mean, so this whole him being crazy type deal, nah. Koba was crazy. He was bloodthirsty, okay? He was willing to do any goddamn thing it took to get to where he was. Woody Harrelson, I didn't really see that much in here, and that's not a takeaway on Woody Harrelson's character here. But, this Gabriel guy, the preacher, I thought he was going to have probably a bigger part in the film. His big part in this film was just getting blown up by a fucking rocket launcher, which I thought was just hilariously funny, to be honest. You know, I figured he was going to have something the way they were setting him up to be the counter arc by Woody Harrelson's character throughout the film. He'd be the one giving the apes water or food or something like that. But no, he didn't even do that. He's just... Really, he's just there for that scene you see in the trailer. You're Caesar and pointing a fucking bow and arrow at someone. Thought that was a negative there. Another one I had, what I would say is Donkey, which I thought was awesome too, played by Ty Olson. And they kind of called all their traitor monkeys. I think they had like two traitor ones. At least the two that I saw was one was an ape and the other one was the gorilla and stuff. The ape, they didn't really give that much screen time to. You kind of just saw him here and there and stuff like that. But the gorilla Donkey here, they gave him kind of a lot to do. He's like a story arc. And as a matter of fact, he plays to the point of, you see from his point of view of, you know, him siding with the Cobra. He's like the last effect of Cobra still lingering around, other than Caesar himself having PTSD moments, which he was about the whole, you know, because Caesar, in his mind, he's slowly becoming Cobra, and he kind of admits it at the end or whatever, I am like Cobra, you know, and you see it in this film, which I thought was handled really well in here, and all besides that, they have Donkey kind of play in the last remnants of Cobra's existence or whatever, you know, he's one of the last renegade apes. That's still on Cobra's side because they end up killing Winter's ass like right away. They were trying to get information. I love the fear in Winter's eye too. When they surrounded his ass, he was like, "Oh shit!" It was like watching a scene from Oz or something like that. They was about to prison rape his ass, and when he was about to snitch or whatever, Winter's a little bitch too. It was funny. Like this big ass gorilla. I love the personality they gave him. He's just like a little bitch and stuff. He was ready to snitch on them and shit, and they ended up accidentally choking his ass out. So that's the last you see a Winter in the beginning of this film here. But with the ape here or whatever, Donkey, he's in the beginning of the film. He's watching apes get slaughtered. Like, I mean, like, blown away, gunshots to him. So, and he's kind of, his eyes are just watching this throughout the whole film. And towards the end of the film, when Gabriel stop Caesar from blowing up that gas tank, he shoots him in the air and he's about to finish him off. Donkey is just watching from afar, and he's got a rocket launcher in his hand that he's supposed to hand to one of the soldiers here, and he's just staring, and he's the one that blew up Gabriel's character and ends up getting shot in the head in the process, for that matter too. What I didn't like about that, it was just like they didn't give enough time with him and Caesar, like, because Caesar's kind of, he gets captured as well, and put in this camp, but they don't use him to help for slavery and shit like that. They string him up like he's Jesus Christ on a fucking X mark right there, and they just hang him up and just, like, make him watch. They don't give him water or stuff. Every now and then they probably throw water on his fucking head or something like that, but he's thirsty, he's hungry, and all kind of shit. They keep him in a separate cage away from the other apes and stuff like that because they realize he's the leader, and these other apes will pretty much do what he says as long as we keep torturing these gorillas and stuff. I was looking for more scenes where him and Donkey would probably have more conversations and stuff like that, to where they would talk, to get kind of to the forefront of what's Donkey's problem. Why would he do this? Why would he turn his back on apes like this? Or even if it is for Cobra's cause and stuff like that. But they didn't do that. And I thought it was just like when he shot Gabriel with that rocket launcher, which I saw coming in that sequence, but it was just like, why would he do that? I don't get it. Like, the whole movie, he spent just, like, snarling at fucking Caesar throughout the whole film. And it gets to this one shot here where the apes are escaping, and when this military is coming in firing on Woody Harrelson's team and stuff like that, this one gunner, he sees them, the apes escaping. He's, like, mowing them down and stuff like that. And then you see Donkey staring. He's just, like, looking. And you can see, like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. But it was, like, for the whole fucking movie you've been watching this, dude. This movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes, so... It's like, what the hell? Like, I thought that was kind of weak, if you asked me. And it was a shame, too, because I think you could have did a lot with Donkey as well, too, as far as having that contrast of character there. And I would have kept Donkey evil all the way to the end. Let Caesar be the one to pull that trigger on Donkey. Or, you know what? Not pull that trigger on Donkey. Let him go, whatever. That way, could have proved, yeah, I'm not Cobra, you know? I'm nothing like Cobra. I let this ape, because in most of his flashback, he says... Cobra's flashbacks, he goes, ape doesn't kill ape, you know. except for Caesar killing Koba, you know, Caesar still lives with that guilt in him and stuff. But yeah, that would have been cool had he had the shot to take out Donkey, and instead he didn't take the shot. He says, "You going about your way," or whatever, you know. But no, they didn't go that route neither. So I thought that was kind of a missed opportunity as well there. I talked about the tie-ins with Nova. Like I said, it didn't bother me as much, whatever and stuff. But it was just kind of like, oh. I will say that this movie doesn't do the, hey, look at that name, although they do linger on that thing for a while, and you're just like, I don't really need to see that right there. It's just like, you couldn't think of a clever way, because she is one of those, damn, so I wonder if she's going to die in the next film. I don't know if this virus, I guess it does kill you, right? Well, either way, she suffers from not being able to talk, so I don't know if it'll slowly deteriorate her brain as we later get in these films or something like that, and she'll just eventually die off. But nonetheless, I guess we'll have to find, wait and see. Whatever. That's the thing about this movie and some of the complaints I may have. I wouldn't full-blown say that, oh, they took me away from the movie, because you can definitely tell that it's like, it feels like set up for another film or whatever and stuff, and it's one of those, you just gotta wait and see, you know? I will say with Mia Miller, for the little part that she was in here, I could say that I don't think she needed to be in the film. I don't think she really added anything to the plot itself there, especially because Caesar spends most of the movie is him locked up, other than the adventure they go on. I will say, though, that she had some nice character parts and stuff like that with Luca and Maurice. Maurice, I'm assuming that they killed his father. Her father, Nova's father, at the beginning of the film, but she kind of really didn't bat an eye to it. They were like, we can't leave her alone. Her and Maurice got some bonding time, but then there was this one sequence with Luca where she was, Nova was looking at these flowers, and Luca came, and, you know, this big intimidating gorilla came, and you thinking like, he's gonna snarl at her, but he ended up getting a flower for her and putting it in her hair and stuff like that. It really spoke for a lot of the characters in here as well, too, that, you know, even though Caesar was like the only one raised by humans and stuff, these other monkeys, they don't have hate in their heart neither, like Koba did, and most of his followers, for other humans. They recognize that she's a child, and she does have a certain innocence about her. And I would say, if although I don't think she really needed to be in the film because she doesn't really add anything, I will say it is those little subtle moments of the humanity that relies in these monkeys and in that child, and they understand that the presence of a child is just being innocent as well too. So it does add some subtle moments like that, but not for nothing, I don't think you really needed her in the film. She does do this thing where she sneaks into the fucking base, and I'm like, I don't know how you just flat out walk. Their guards must fucking suck. Like, she literally just legitimately walked in this motherfucker and just started feeding monkeys and stuff, and I was just like, how the fuck do you not get caught? I was like, wow, are they just that? Maybe they got kids running around. I don't know, but they would have eventually killed her ass had they not, or at least Woody Harrelson could not killed her ass, not being able to find out if she can talk. What are the negatives I may have? I'm speaking a lot of negatives. It sounds like I hate the movie, I guess, but I don't, actually. just pointing them out as well. I think that's about it. I will say, I wish they would have did more Woody Harrelson's character. He does kind of come off cartoonish in the trailer, if you will. You're thinking, like, seriously, he's gonna be this straight-up menacing-ass villain. But he kind of comes down as an understandable villain in this film. And I wouldn't even necessarily call him a villain. I guess I wouldn't call him a villain. He's kind of like an opposite polar of Caesar, to be honest. He just wants to survive, and the only reason why he's taking Caesar really out and stuff like that is because, you know, this one sequence here that he has where he tells him, you know, I had to put my son down. You can see it too. See, Andy Serkis does an amazing job here. He's crying and stuff like that, telling the story. And he even tells him, Caesar, he's like, I didn't mean to put your wife and son down. I thought it was you. Or, you know, it's just an act of war. He says something. I almost forgot the line now and stuff. You know, at first he was just like, oh, he's not that bad. But then he says some dick line. He's just like, yep, Caesar's going to murder your ass right here. And the way they kind of kill his character off, too, is when the war is breaking out, when the apes escape, Caesar's like, nah, fuck that. I got to go finish this guy. And Rocket's looking at him like, didn't we go through this like an hour ago, dude? Just come on. Let's go. So he's like, nah, you going without me. So, and then these other soldiers come in. They start blowing up buildings. Caesar gets into his place. and they're trying to beat on the colonel's, other his men are trying to beat on his door saying, hey, colonel, we're being attacked. Come on, wake up. And he's thinking like, oh, did this motherfucker flee? Did he run away? Caesar goes into his place, and all of a sudden, he's suffering from that disease now. He can't speak. He's bleeding from the, it looked like his nose, but it could have been from the mouth and nose area. And he's been drinking nonstop alcohol like crazy. I don't know how this virus is tending to spread. Maybe it's just being around the apes itself. It deteriorates you as well. I don't know how it works. But he's about to put a bullet in Woody Harrelson's character, and he decides not to. Woody Harrelson ends up doing it himself. It kind of felt like I don't want to say like a shitty ending or anticlimactic or nothing like that. I guess I was just expecting more. Maybe kind of like a big-ass battle between the two or something like that. Not on the level of Cobra and Caesar, how that went out, because that was just like some monkey flying all around this tower that they was on and stuff like that. You know, obviously stuff that a human can't do or whatever. But I guess I was expecting something on that level, but it just kind of cut off like that. I was like, oh. It's kind of a bittersweet ending to this character here. But nonetheless, I still enjoyed Woody Harrelson in here. I thought he was fantastic in the role. I just kind of wish they would have did more with him. But that's pretty much all my negatives. I don't want to talk about negatives. Let's get into some positives now. The positives here now. First thing we got to talk about is that fucking score. That score was just amazing. That was incredible. It's funny. Baby Driver, best soundtrack of the year. Hell, I would say of the summer, but of the year as well. I'll say Planet of the Apes, man. It probably had... I'll say of the summer, because there is another film I didn't review, but I saw early in the year, too. And it has a pretty goddamn good score. I still listen to that damn thing. I was listening before I set this review up here. As I was setting up and stuff like that. So, yeah, that score is pretty incredible. But here... And yes, it's a fucking Asian film too, by the way. So yeah, I get on that Okja review. And you don't like Korean films. I saw one, motherfucker, and it had an awesome, pretty fucking awesome score. So, but here, the score, man, it was just so subtle. It wasn't blaring in your face or nothing like that. It was so subtle, and it added to the story as well, especially with these camera angles that they did in here. They really got some close-up shots in here. The camera technique is beautiful, and the way they shot the film and the cinematography is just amazingly gorgeous here, too. I mean, I don't understand how Fox can do this with this franchise, and yet their other franchise films, they don't look nowhere near on the level of this. Whatever they like, Fox looks like fucking amateur hour and stuff like that when it gets to like Fantastic Four, and I would even say some of their terrible X-Men films that they got near and stuff. And then you get to these Planet of the Apes films, and you're like, my God, why does the CGI look so fucking perfect? Like literally, you can't even tell. And you know, and it's so good too that you kind of almost forget you're even looking at monkeys and shit like that. You know. So, yeah, it's just so seamlessly flawless in here. And I'm just, like, staring at that. And, like, you just can't help but look at Fox and just go, like, you got, like, Alien franchises. Do they do the... I can't remember. I think that's Lionsgate. And the X-Men films and Fantastic Four and all these other stuff that they do and stuff. And yet, their Planet of the Apes just always looks perfect. A lot of love and care goes into the process of just putting this together. And the budgets are way lower than their Fantastic Four and X-Men films or whatever. It's high, but it's high on a level where you'd be like, I see why it costs that much, you know? You know, so I love the camera angle, the close-up shots they got of people's face, the monkeys' faces and the eyes and the look in there. Because, man, they're doing some hardcore reactions with their face and stuff. So I think it was just best to put the close-up shots on them. Another thing I love, too, I love Caesar's story arc. I just absolutely love it. I mean, this trilogy has just been nothing but a character story arc for this man, this character here. Caesar, I mean, we watched this character from a baby back in 2011 just grow up into be the leader that that he should be in this film here. And yes, he does die at the end, that arrow that Gabriel, you know, that arrow Gabriel Chavara put in him, that felt like I was watching fucking Troy. You guys remember in Troy? Troy was such a damn. What was the character Brad Pitt played now? Fuck, I forgot his. Achilles? damn, I can't remember the fucking character he played. But he was such a badass character. He's just like, nobody's gonna take this guy down. One-on-one, he's just dominating people and stuff, left and right. Such cool-ass fight scenes, so stylish and stuff like that. And only for the pussy-ass little brother to take him out from the back with an arrow through his foot and stuff like that. It was just like, oh, God. So, and like, his brother, the other, I forgot the character's goddamn name and stuff like that. The little brother ended up taking Brad Pitt's character out. You don't like that guy throughout the whole fucking movie. They give him nothing to do. And what he does in the film, he's a whiny little bitch. So he's always like looking like he's got tears. He's like, he's not a man at all. He's just a pussy. And he's the one that takes out Brad Pitt's character from a faraway shot. He's just looking at that like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You kind of feel the same way. I wouldn't say on that level, to be honest, because that movie was just, it was pretty bad in a sense anyway, but it did have a certain style that I liked, and Brad Pitt's character was just a bad motherfucker. So other than that, but this movie is really good. And for Gabriel to be the one to take him out, he's just like, huh, what the fuck? It's like, get the fuck out of here. It's like, you gave this dude nothing to do at all for this whole movie and stuff. And he's just like, really? He's the one that takes Caesar's out? Oh, okay. Puts an arrow on Caesar's side here or whatever. And Caesar makes it on the journey towards the end. But then he ends up revealing to Maurice that, like, hey, I'm dying here. I'm not going to be a while long for this or whatever. And he just ends up passing out. And Maurice makes a noise, and all the other monkeys kind of look from a faraway shot as they made it to the promised land, if you will. And they all do their hands in the air where they do the apes together strong. Apes together strong. Yes. Ah, yes. They do it with their strong and stuff like that, you know. Ah, such great lines and stuff like that. The only thing that was missing was some great dialogue from Charlton Heston, you know. So, you know. She is awful, by the way. Why did you run away? Oh, sound like Sammy would be playing her or something like that.
Security, police.
I'm in charge of this man.
No longer, madam. He's now with
this motherfucker's mouth ain't even moving, okay? Jesus Christ, man. This looked like shit back then.
The Ministry of Science.
Take your sticking paws off me, you damn dirty ass.
There's a group shot of all the monkeys here. You got to see this one monkey between. He's got the green robe on, but he's between the two, I guess, police monkeys right here. And he's got. He's like, no, the fuck, he did not just say that or whatever. They even do another shot of a monkey right here. I think that was the doctor that was treating him, whatever. She's like, he can talk. You damn dirty. Charlton has an over king of overact. Look, she's small. She's like, ooh. I could do something with his ass later or whatever. We're going to slice him open and experiment later. Yeah, it's missing some lines like that. You know, take your stinking daddy paws off me, you damn dirty. I think that's why Cringe and Rise of the Planet when they had fucking Draco fucking Leo that line. Because he kind of almost did it. He tried to deliver it the same way that Heston did or whatever. I mean, it's just like, oh, I could have did without that. Oh, I really could have did without that scene right there. But, yeah, so Caesar does end up dying there or whatever, and it really felt like a great story arc for him. Yeah, how could you not love him? I will go ahead and put it up there. He's an iconic character, goddammit. He's made his way to that fucking fall. I would say he's more iconic than some of the fucking people that people think are iconic right about now, you know? Caesar is up there, one of the greatest iconic characters of movie history right now. But I will say, as I was talking bad about, no, I wouldn't say bad, but I was talking shit about Andy Serkis a little bit. Man, there's one monkey in here. I made fun of in the trailer. I was like, man, he looked like the fucking Gollum of Apes or whatever. He still does. There's a shot where he sticks his head out of the trench and shit like that. They only show his bald head and his skin, how it's colored. I was like, ooh, that's a scary looking monkey. I would not fuck with that monkey. But bad ape. Steve Zahn's character. That Gollum looking ape. He is fucking awesome in this film. He is awesome in this film. Now, he brings a contrast. Where have I seen Steve Zahn? I know he's in Dallas Buyers Club, but I feel like I've seen him somewhere. That's right, he was in Captain Fantastic. Oh, he was in fucking Ridiculous 6. Anyway, though, we're just going to move on from that now. yeah, Steve Zahn, man. Who looks like Ben from What the Flick. He plays Bad Ape in here. We find out his character story. He's He was a zoo ape. Eventually escaped. His friends escaped with him. They got mowed down by humans. He learned how to speak by watching the humans and stuff. He plays such a different contrast because he's been alone for so long to Caesar and the rest of the apes and stuff like that. You know, he also has a bit, because this movie is kind of a Debbie Downer in some aspects, rightfully so, but some people will probably call it a down. Steve Zahn's character comes in, adds a little bit of comedy to lighten the load a little bit. You laugh his ass off. He's got a very interesting, unique wardrobe change as well, too. He's like that chicken Transformers, what was it called? Shit, I don't even remember what it's called now. The Last Night, there you go. Transformers The Last Night. Excuse me, I'm an alcoholic, all right? And plus the movie. He's got an interesting wardrobe. There's a funny ass sequence where I talked about the flower that the gorilla gives to Nova. Luca gives to Nova. He comes out saying, "I'm ready to go," and he's got like this bright ass blue vest on with a beanie on and stuff like that. Even in the beginning of the film, you see him like a trench coat on and stuff like that. I mean, he's just it's just something about him. He also has. What I loved about his character, and he was probably my favorite in the film as well, too. Obviously, next to Caesar. Caesar's always going to be your favorite just because you've been following him since day one. But what I love about Bad Ape in here is, so he seems a little bit off. I think the other monkeys can tell. He doesn't speak the sign language that they know and stuff like that. So he's kind of just like looking. He's learning slowly from them, whatever and stuff. He's kind of like, I don't want to say mentally challenged, but he has this certain innocence about him that he brings to the cast of the apes that are with him. Even though Maurice is also there as a sense of innocence. Yes, Maurice is there, though, mainly it's like, look, I'm Caesar's damn near his best friend. I'm willing to protect him, put my life on the line for him. And so does Luca. Feels the same way. I would even say Rocket and stuff. Rocket is a great addition to this team because he's telling Caesar, I know what it's like to lose a son. I've been there before, whatever. Let me be there for you now. And remember in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I think it was the beginning of the film as well, they shot Rocket's family and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a similar contrast there. I love this pairing that they teamed up with, Rocket, Maurice, Luca, and now Bad Ape and stuff, because they all play a part in Caesar's mindset of either where they used to be at, how they should be, or whatever it may be. They play personality trait points for Caesar and what he should be in a mindset of being as this leader of the apes and stuff like here. Bad Ape was just, I thought he was just incredible. His design, although it looked weird and stuff like that, I thought it still looked great. He brings a sudden light of lightness to the film. He's that added touch of humor as well in there. And like I said, he just has this innocence about him that you just can't help but be like, you know, I want to be around with this character because I want to look after him. You know, I feel like something bad, like they would abuse him and use him and stuff like that, and I want to be there. You'd feel like if someone took a bullet for him, you would completely understand where it would come from. But I mean, even towards the end, where he kind of develops into his own character arc, where he ends up becoming more braver than he thought he was and stuff. I mean, he saves the baby monkeys when bombs start going off. He throws his body in front of them and stuff like that. So, and no, he doesn't die. He lives throughout the film. I just thought that character was just such a nice addition to add to the film as well, too. He really did help with the pacing a little bit, too. This movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes long. I don't think it needed to be that long. Not that I was bored or anything like that, whatever. I did start to feel the length a little bit. I had to go to the bathroom. I was holding that piss for a while. I did not want to get up. I did not want to get up at all, people. I can tell you this right now. I was like, I'm not missing a fucking second of this goddamn film right here, whatever. And I was just like thinking, hoping that the people sitting next to me, I was like thinking in my head, I wonder if I put my dick in this icy cup and start pissing, whatever, would anybody see? But I was like, that's a easy way to start getting banned from screeners. I was like, that's probably a no-no. But I held it all the way through that first credit. I ran the fuck out that day. I was like, I gotta go. And there was a fucking line. I was like, oh! But the length of the film did kind of kick in where the pacing towards the middle half of the film, whatever. And not necessarily, I don't think it was bad. I just thought some of the beats were being repeated as well. I was just like, yeah, we kind of got, I get what is going on here, and it's really good, don't get me wrong here. But we kind of got a similar trait of that like 5-10 minutes ago. So it's like, you don't have to really keep showing me this or whatever. I get it. Here. Maurice. That was probably my favorite character after Caesar. I would say Maurice, Bad Ape, and this whole team actually he teamed with. I would say these apes are just awesome as hell. Maurice, yeah, how could you? They've been there since with Caesar since day one too. It's been kind of his, I guess, kind of a mentor in rights, whatever, you know, his right hand man, kind of giving him the advice he needs to be to like be a better ape and stuff, you know, because there's a line here where Maurice tells him, "You're becoming like, you're just like Koba," and stuff like that. And, you know, Caesar's trying to shoot it down. I'm not like Koba until the end of the film where it finally gets to Koba. For people that's going in this film expecting just an all-out war film, like it's some Hacksaw Ridge shit type deal, it's not that all. It's a slower, methodical, more type of war film here. It's more of an inside the mindset of this monkey, Caesar, that we've been following here. And I enjoyed it just for that. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I'm trying to think of any other positives towards the end here or whatever. I know some people were complaining about the third act. I thought the third act was awesome, if you ask me. Some of the explosions and shit like they talk about that goes off in here, becomes that big third act and stuff like that. I thought it was necessary and it was building up to that. So it's not like it kind of came out of nowhere. They literally legitimately said that, hey, this army is coming and they're going to blow shit up. And there's a line where he said, we got rockets and guns and shit. We're going to blow their asses up. So, you know, you kind of expect it. And it was just adding to the story as well, too, here. It's been a great trilogy for Caesar. I know this is not a trilogy for the franchise because they're going to continue this franchise. But without Caesar, I'm assuming, there's a lot of aspects that could go. We talked about in The Rise of the Planet Apes where the spaceship went. Are they going to go directly into Planet of the Apes? Or are we going to get a film in between before we get to Planet of the Apes? Are we going to start to build Nova up or something like that? You know, as her being the main character and taking care of these monkeys for the, I guess, there might be like a few last surviving humans or whatever. Woody Harrelson said that base and the military is coming to some of the last surviving humans. So maybe there's some humans coming that, I don't know, where Nova has to step up and be the leader of the group. I don't know how. She can't speak. So, maybe Rocket steps up. Who knows, whatever, where it's going to go for the next film or where they decide to go. Could be just a reboot of Planet of the Apes now. And I think probably that would most likely be the way to go. Or you could do something with the sun. Cornelius, which is another name drop right there. That one wasn't so bad, though. That one was actually more subtle, if you will. They didn't have the need to like show a fucking Chevrolet Nova tag plate there. This is one of the better films of the summer. It's up there with the Spider-Man, the Baby Driver, you know. I think that's about it, to be honest. So that's about it for me, I guess. This is a damn good film. I recommend it for everyone. But here's the thing, though. If you haven't seen the two previous films, then don't go into this film alone or whatever. You definitely need to watch the other films. This is not one of those films you can just walk in and be like, I don't know why everybody's so crazy about this film. Yeah, there's definitely a reason behind that. And it plays into the other films, too, as well. This buildup that we've been waiting to get with this previous franchise. I will be seeing all three of these films tomorrow on Friday here at the AMC trilogy feature that they got going on here, so I can't wait for that. I will be watching all three movies. That's going to be over 6-7 hours maybe or something like that. I think Rise is 2 hours, Dawn is like 210, 215, something like that. This one's about 220, so I will be watching all three of those. Popcorn's going to be ready, hot dogs, talking about the Sour Patch Kids, M&M's, and that good old cherry icy. My favorite. I'm going to drop a seed on this bad boy. Doesn't get to the high seed area because it does have those issues. I thought that, I wouldn't say hardcore issues or anything like that. Just the things that I thought could have been even better to make this propel it to be the better film of the three. Not to say that it's the least of the three or whatever. I would say, like the other two, this is just on par with the other two. Like, it just flows so organically and natural that, wow, I can't pick one over the other of saying it's better. I don't think either one of them is better over the other one. I just think that they add a nice little feature to the next one here. All three of them have their minor little flaws. But without a doubt, this trilogy has been nothing but see it's all around stuff like that. So I'm definitely going to give this a see it right here. And this is easily in my top five best summer of the best summer list here because, well, the summer sucked ass. So summer of suck ass and movies like this stick out the hardest. So definitely go see this film. Hell, go see the trilogy feature, actually. If you haven't seen the previous two films, go waste 7 hours of your time. And trust me, you will be thanking me if you did do that. Definitely going to drop a seed on this film. Go see this goddamn film.
There are times when it is necessary to abandon our humanity, to save humanity.